Joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock.
I am delighted to be here with you. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to return to West Huntsville. Every time Phyllis and I have the opportunity to be with this congregation for any occasion, we always find ourselves strengthened and encouraged. And to be with my good friend Glenn Colley and his wife and family is always a special treat. You'd have to be some kind of a mean person not to like Glenn Colley. He's just a super individual, and I appreciate so much the kind things he had to say about me earlier, and I want you to know that I stand here with a grateful heart, not only to you, but to my Heavenly Father, because He gives me this privilege, and with that privilege goes great responsibility, and I take it as seriously as I can. Do my best to be prepared to the best of my ability to present these holy truths from God's holy word throughout this series of meetings. And just before the message this morning, a couple of notes about you. I commend you for the good works that you are engaged in. Most recently, reaching out to your neighbors, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as those who are not in Christ yet, and helping them recover from the devastating storms that hit. I commend you for all of your other good works, and I personally want to commend you and thank you for your support of the International Gospel Hour, a radio program that is sponsored by the West Fayetteville Congregation. Brother Winfred Claiborne is the speaker on that program. You are familiar with him. The program is now heard on 134 stations in 37 states and reaches even into Canada and Mexico. So with your contributions, you are helping to make the gospel available to so many thousands of people. I also rejoice with you in anticipation of entering that new facility that awaits you. And what a great advancement that will be for this congregation. So, with our hearts attuned to one another, let us tune our hearts now to God's holy word. You have seen the theme of recovering, rebuilding, restoring. And I think that is an appropriate theme for this time in this part of the world, because there are many people who are recovering from the damage physically, materially, that has been done by the storms. And as they rebuild and restore their lives, it is a reminder to us how that sometimes happens to us individually with no storm like a tornado, but one of the storms of life. We get up many days not knowing what the day holds for us. We sometimes think we know what's coming, but surprises happen. A phone call comes. The results from some medical test something of a devastating personal nature. And then suddenly we find ourselves recovering, rebuilding, and restoring our lives to some sense of normalcy. That also can happen spiritually. Sometimes we find ourselves not where we ought to be spiritually. And we feel the need to start a rebuilding and a restoring of our lives to be what God wants them to be. And when that moment comes, every one of us has something. You raised your hands earlier. I love that. We have an all-sufficient guide right here. And it may be a physical problem we're dealing with. It may be a material problem. It may be a life-changing decision we're dealing with. And it may be something of the soul. But we have all we need right here. Give me the Bible. Holy message shining. We sang it. The Word of God lives and abides forever. We read it. We heard it just a moment ago. So in a world of change, in a world that has very little in it that's constant, we're talking about that which is constant. And when you are in a recovering or rebuilding or restoring stage of life, how wonderful it is to know that you have all that you need from God to direct your paths to remain acceptable unto Him. It doesn't mean the disease won't come. It doesn't mean that the setbacks will not happen. It doesn't mean that the harm physically will never happen again. But it means that in spite of those things, you can have stability, security, and the satisfaction of knowing that you are serving the one true living God. So, this morning, in this hour, we will take a brief look at some of the wonderful things that are revealed to us about this book. In the next hour, we will talk about knowledge being the necessary link to doing all of those things that we need to do in life and to achieve rebuilding and restoring. And then tonight, we're going to look at the God of this Bible. And hopefully at the end of the day, we will have a fresh and stronger, a renewed understanding of how blessed and privileged we are to be here on God's creation with the opportunity to serve Him. I want you to look at some scriptures with me that have to do with this amazing book. You know, we use a word in our English language that maybe is misused in some situations. I'm talking about the word unique. Unique. Because the word literally says, just one of a kind. There is one time that you can use that word that is most appropriate, and that's when referring to the Bible, because it's unique. It's one of a kind. There is no other book available anywhere like it. First of all, books. It says Holy Bible, books. Holy because it's from God, as we shall discuss. Bible because it's books, a book of books. You know, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And I know you all have drills for the young people that embed that into their minds, and they understand that those 66 books are a record of God's revelation to man, of how He wants man to live. I am amazed all through life. I never cease to be amazed at what God has given us here. One of the things about the Bible that amazes me is its brevity. Some of the most profound things that have ever happened are told with such amazing brevity. Do you realize that Moses recorded the creation? The whole creation in 34 verses. The book of Genesis records for us basically the first 2,500 years of history. Moses recorded that 2,500 years of history, generally speaking, in less space than one issue of a Reader's Digest. I'm amazed at the simplicity with which God revealed it. With, other than the personal names and locations of places and so on, there are very few words more than a couple of syllables, three at the most. And how such profound incidents are recorded with simplicity, such as, this will ring a bell with you, and there they crucified him. Can you imagine what Fox News would do with that? Wall-to-wall coverage for days. And God simply said, they led the Son of God to Calvary, and there they crucified him. But that simplicity, that brevity, does not leave us lacking. For it pronounces to us everything that we need to know to take us home to heaven. Look at a well-known scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to note this with me. As we recall Paul, the great apostle, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he gave him a little reminder of what kind of environment he was in and what kind of environment he was headed for. And in the third chapter, beginning at verse 13, he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now pause in your reading for a moment and remind yourself of what that reminds Timothy of. Timothy had a mother and a grandmother that had taught him the scriptures. And he said, Timothy, in the midst of all of this that's going on and these people that are going to deceive others and some will be deceived, and times are really going to be challenging to your faith, but you continue in the scriptures which you've learned. And remember of whom you learned them. And in those scriptures you stay because, hear it well, they make you wise unto salvation. You don't have to rely upon what you think in your mind or what somebody else thinks. And you don't rely upon mother or grandmother, although they may be godly women, but you do not have to rely upon them. You rely upon what they've taught you as far as what they've taught you is a true to word, the Word of God. Because it's the Scriptures that make you wise unto salvation. Now continue your reading. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. You see, Paul tells us in verse 16, the man of God can be perfect. That does not mean sinless. We will not achieve that. We have already gone past that point. But what it means is that we may be complete. That there is not anything that we're going to need to know for what He has told us. There's not any instruction or guidance that we will need to navigate the troubles of life but what He's already provided it for us. And He says it will thoroughly or truly furnish you or equip you unto every good work. The Scriptures provide all that we need to know. It's why Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In the next hour, I will address this scripture again in another way. But right now, I want you to focus upon this. What you have just read is a pronouncement to you of an unchanging message in an ever-changing world. When you hear someone say, well, I know what Paul the Apostle wrote, I know what Peter wrote, and so on, I know what's in that Bible, but this is the 21st century. And we've got to move into the 21st century, and the implication being that you can't bring this with you. Because times are different. Brethren, friends, think what that implies. That just really smacks of irreverence. Because it implies that God Almighty, all-knowing, all-wise, was incapable of giving us a revelation of His will that would sustain us through the years, and that He needs to come up with a revised edition. It implies that God was incapable of doing that, and I know He was not incapable of doing that. I'll tell you where the problem is. The problem is that too many of us try to interpret this book in light of culture, when what we need to do is, from the other direction, interpret culture in light of this book. Let this book be revered as that Word of God that lives and abides forever. And the Word of God is constant. It is absolute. The truth of this book is unchanging. And you know, no matter how many advancements we see in the technological world, some of you sitting there following me on the iPad, you know those things that you also have in your pocket, that little iPhone that connects you to the internet out there somewhere, and you have access to these millions of bits of information. It's a wonderful, amazing, challenging world that we're in. But no matter how advanced we get, and no matter how complex our lives may be at times, we still have that one basic need to understand who we are, where we came from, what we're doing here, and where we're going. And that's what this book addresses. And it gives us the truth, it gives us instructions, it gives us principles by which we live acceptably unto God. This book is an amazing book because, I say again, it's not an ordinary book, but it is the Word of God. When we read there in verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, what does that mean? To you just personally, what does it mean? By the inspiration of God. You say, well, that means it came from God. Well, be a little more specific. Did God come down here and sit down at a desk somewhere and write it? We say, well, no, we understand that there were men like Paul and Peter and James and Jeremiah and Isaiah and so on who wrote the books of the Bible. Well, then, how do we say it's the Word of God? Here's how we say it. We say it's the Word of God because God endowed those men whom He selected to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And baptizing them in the Holy Spirit, He then enabled them, hear it well, He enabled them to receive from God communication of His will without error, and then in turn communicate that revelation to man without error. God did the inspiring, the in-breathing. God breathed. But when we say it, that it's the inspiration of God, we just simply mean that when Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, when I speak, I don't speak the words of man's wisdom. I teach that and I speak that which is by the wisdom or the Spirit of God. Because he said, man cannot know God's will. You know that, don't you? What's God thinking right now? You don't know that unless God reveals it to you in some way or another. I don't know what Glenn's thinking right now unless he reveals that to me. You see, that's the way it is with mortal man trying to know the mind of God. But Paul said, by the Holy Spirit that knows the mind of God, God has revealed what His will is, what His mind is, what His instructions to us may be. And so Paul said He has revealed it to us, and He thereby tells us how we should live. So when we read this book, we're reading words written by Paul to Timothy, but we're actually reading what God has said to us through Paul. It is the same principle as if I were to come to you and say to you, would you get a piece of paper, please, and get a pen, and I'd like for you to write something about the Bible. And when you write it, it's you. It's your writing, inspired by you. But compare that to me coming to you and say, get a piece of paper and a pen, please, and write down these words about the Bible. And I stand and I dictate to you what to write. Actually, who's doing the writing? Well, you are. But where'd the words come from? Me. All right. In comparison, who did the writing? Paul, sometimes a scribe for Paul. But where'd the words come from? God. So when we say this book is the Word of God, we are saying this is what God says. And whatever God says to be the case is the case. Whatever God says happened, happened. Whatever God says is going to happen, will happen. And it may stagger the human mind. I still, as a grown man, find myself trying to comprehend, as I did when I was a boy, how all that water of the Red Sea was walled up. And overnight, the bed dried up so that the Israelites could walk through the next day. Well, I know God did it. He caused all of that. But that is an amazing event to me. And of all of the amazing events mentioned and recorded for us, a young lady who has never engaged in sexual activity with a man at all becomes pregnant and bears the Son of God because she was overpowered, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. That happened. Just as the Bible says it happened. So whatever God says happened. Well, this book is what God says. And so whatever this book says to us needs to be trusted and respected as the will of God. And here's one of the most amazing things about it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul wrote about the revelation that he had received is a wonderful reassurance to us. Read with me from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation, remember that word that we concentrated on, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, unto rather His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See, there's that inspiration. There was a time, Paul said, when men didn't know the will of God as you and I now have it revealed unto us. There were some of those prophets, Isaiah for an example, Jeremiah for another example, wrote things that had to do with what was going to happen 700 years or more later. They didn't understand all of that. God chose in the fullness of time to reveal. And Paul says, now by His Spirit it's been revealed to me. Are you listening? Revealed to me, Paul said, and I have written it. And when you read it, you can understand what has been revealed. Can you understand the Bible? A lot of people say no. Well, let's be realistic about it. There are some sections in the Bible that you can read with one little casual reading and you're not going to understand everything you're reading. You're going to have to do more than one little casual reading. You're going to have to study it. But everything that is revealed here is understandable. Otherwise, you're going to have to say God didn't have the ability to make. See, when a man writes something, he either intends for it to be understood or he doesn't intend for it to be understood. And I know God intended for it to be understood. Did He have the capability of making Himself understood? Well, of course He did. So He has given us the Scriptures, and Paul said, what He's revealed to me, I've written to you. When you read it, then you can understand it. Maybe. Could it be that our understanding is lacking because we fail to read it and study it like we should? How precious is this book divine, by inspiration given. It guides me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I am guided by the Scriptures. And our prayer ought to be, Lord, direct my steps by Your word. And I come to this Scripture seeking instruction. And our prayer ought to be, I'm listening, Lord. Teach me. Tell me about You, about Your precious Son and His atoning blood, because I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. And I know I'm not here permanently. And when I get through here, I want to come and be with You. Thank You for this Bible. Thank You for Your Word. Teach me. Help me to direct my paths according to Your will. In the Scriptures, You have God's all-sufficient instruction for life. We'll build on that in the next hour. Let us now prepare for the song of encouragement. And as we sing this song in a moment, we will do so to invite and encourage those who are not Christians to become Christians. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then do as the Bible instructs you. Act upon that faith and repent from your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus and be immersed in water in the name of Jesus to have your sins forgiven. And when you do that, not only are your sins forgiven, God adds you to the church that was purchased by the blood of Christ. That wonderful blessing awaits you when you will make that great decision. We'll be glad to help you in any way we can. Come while we stand and while we sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.